This is the American Dream, Dustin Rhodes, son of a plumber, daddy, and you're listening to the Bob Culture Podcast.
Welcome in to a very special NXT TakeOver 36 NXT. Edition NXT. Of the BCP Goodest Brother. I am stoked for this one. We had to roll out the red carpet for the return of the Queen. She is, of course, you know her from Queen's Court. She is the head honcho of wrestling fashion. She is a BCP OG original member. Please welcome back the Queen of NXT. Queen, welcome in. How are you?
Love it.
Please. What's up? Oh, I just love you guys. I'm so glad to be back. I'm out of semi-retirement, but I'm better than Goldberg, so you're welcome.
Nice. I love it. Oh, man. Yes. It's amazing already. When she was, and guys, thanks for tuning in. Let us know in the chat if everything is coming out okay. But it's good to see you, Queen.
It's very good to see you.
You know, just life has been weird, man, I think for everybody the past year and a half. That's an understatement. Yeah. And I just remember having such like fond memories just through those tough times, like talking with you and Bill, doing the Royal Rumble picks, whatever it was, man. And that put a smile on my face. I'm so glad just to have you back to talk about NXT, which is one of our favorites. You know, we always try to watch NXT together. Johnny's obviously your guy, Nunes. And I just wanted to talk about this first, guys. We have to talk about it all week, Nunes. You've been saying it feels like the end of an era. You know, we saw those memos or whatever you want to call them where they're saying, you know, no one over 30 or a certain height, like whatever that
is. So basically the whole roster.
Yeah, it's yep. Like, you know, these
everybody.
These releases and everything, it's really disheartening because NXT's been a lot of fun and some of our favorite wrestlers. It's given jobs to some of our friends, you know. It's given opportunity, much like AEW has. And I just, I don't really know why they're doing this. We had an episode about it where it's almost like they're punishing NXT. You know, when you say they, it's, you know, who exactly is it? That's a whole nother conversation. But your thoughts, Goodest Brother, on just NXT moving forward and what this run for NXT has meant to you?
I mean, you know me. I'm pretty positive. I always try to look glass half full. I mean, and all this stuff is kind of hearsay. It hasn't really been, like, set in stone, correct?
Yeah.
Or is it just, you know,
I think
so
a lot of it's damage control, too, but
sure. I think it's a lot of damage control.
Yeah, exactly. So at the end of the day, I won't believe it until I see it.
Okay.
You know what I mean? But if a lot of it is true, it is a shame. At the end of the day, it's their company. They can do whatever they want with it. My main thing is, it's hard, especially this day and age in wrestling, with the internet and with everybody speculating online. It is hard to, A, be surprised in wrestling, and B, create something organic that works long term.
Very well.
That's what got me into NXT, because I was like, oh, Ciampa, he's like a true bad guy. Johnny's a true good guy. And you had other people like, oh, that's a real like good character. And then you had the Undisputed Era, you know, this heel cool group. It's like everything seemed to be clicking, and it's hard to find that. It's hard to find, you know, organic things in wrestling. So it's bittersweet, but at the end of the day, we'll just ride it out, and you know, we'll see what happens.
Very well said, Goodest Brother. And Queen, you know, when I approached you about returning, and I've been waiting for this day, you know, and congratulations, round of applause to the Queen on the little princess 4 months ago. So happy just to see you, that big smile on your face, but I'm so glad to have you back. But when I approached you, you said, hey, I'd love to jump on the NXT show, and I can tell NXT might also be one of your favorites. So your thought on what NXT has done, like, through this pandemic era, and then your thoughts on NXT moving forward.
Yeah, and I'm so glad that you asked me to come on for NXT when I told you that. You know, NXT is what I watch weekly. I don't watch the other two. Same. I watch the big pay-per-views, right? But I don't watch Raw or SmackDown. NXT I watch every week. And for me, for the pandemic era, you know, they had some great stuff happening over this past year. A lot of really cool and interesting signings. A lot of fun title changes. Seeing Kushida doing open challenges is like the best thing that ever happened ever.
Thankfully,
he's using just him. Yeah. I mean, that was such an untapped talent. Like, I know he was injured and everything, so I'm so glad that he was able to come back and have this title reign with the cruiserweight title. And they had a lot of great things. However, I know that there is a shift. It feels like there's a shift. It feels like a different NXT. And, you know, a little shameless promo here, if I may.
We're all about it. We're all about it. Have you met us? Come on.
I know. Radio Techers with Tanner and the illustrious Podfather Mags asked myself and Ray to come on and talk about NXT and kind of did it fail as its mission statement, if you will. Did they not meet it? Right, they're supposed to be making talent for the quote-unquote main roster. Did that work or not? And I think a lot of the conversation is more not so much did it fail, because it definitely succeeded in so many ways.
Yes.
But for me, it was a conversation more of it feels like this, like we're diverging here. We have like a fork in the road with what they wanted to do, which feels more like the Performance Center's job now to raise that new talent that they want, where NXT has established itself as a very successful third brand. And I think they need to treat it like a third brand stop treating it like the funnel to the other two shows, which I just don't think are as successful of a wrestling program. So I think it has a lot of potential to be great, but if these changes and releases are any indication, it's got me very nervous. I will be honest with you. And I think this takeover, like we mentioned earlier, you guys, it might be the end of an era.
Yeah. Very, very well said, Queen. And I like what you said, because we've always looked at it as a third brand, and they've rarely embraced it as such, except for that one Survivor Series.
Yeah, I was going to say, because what was almost 2 years ago, NXT, didn't they sweep Survivor Series? Or they won almost every match, correct?
And that was the last we heard of them.
Yeah.
Exactly.
On the other two.
But it was just like, when they won a Survivor Series and they made them look very good, it was just like, oh wow, okay, so they really are embracing NXT, so this isn't going anywhere. And here we are less than 2 years later, and it's like, nope, we're gonna clean the slate and we're gonna start all over again.
Very interesting. But let's go into our first match. Let's go with Dakota Kai taking on Raquel for the NXT Women's Championship. This should be very interesting. This has been a long build to this one. You know, we always see with those tag teams, someone's going to turn at some point. So I'll throw it to you first, Queen. Your thoughts on Raquel as the reigning NXT Women's Champion, and who do you think is going to walk away with that title at the end of the night?
Okay. That's so how do you follow Io Shirai? How do you do that? How do you follow Io Shirai as one of the best NXT Women's Champions? I don't know how you do that. And Raquel, I don't know. For me, she doesn't hit. I'm not afraid of her. I don't like fear her in any shape or form. Dakota Kai is supposed to be the heel, and I'm way more on her side than I am Raquel's side. She doesn't promo very well, and she doesn't sell me on herself. And, you know, the ring works fine. I don't think there's anything bad, but it's not overwhelming. I'll put it that way.
Yeah.
So for me, it's been kind of a lackluster championship reign, and I feel like they're trying to make Raquel happen, and it's just, like, not happening. Yeah. Especially when you have someone as dynamic as Dakota Kai opposite, it kind of shows those weaknesses, in my opinion. I just think that she's better on the mic. She's a better character. Like, I don't even know who Raquel Gonzalez is. Like, she calls herself Big Mommy Cool, but, like, who are you? Like, what is your character? You're, like, half heel, half face, half mean, half not. Like, we're like, one boot in, one boot out. I don't know what's happening. So, like, it's confusing for me. Whereas Dakota is such a solid character. You know what she's about. You know what she wants. She's going to betray her friend. You knew that was coming from, like, the get-go. Yeah, that was no surprise to anybody. Exactly. You could see it from space. And it's a simple but good story. That's what I like about this build. Mm. It's an easy story to tell. It's always been told throughout wrestling. It'll always be told throughout wrestling. It gets you invested in the characters, or is supposed to, and makes you want to see who's going to come out on top between these two former best friends. I just think other people have done it better. But that being said, with all this shakeup in NXT, with the height thing, I'm like, well, Raquel's out, I guess. Like, right? Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. Roster. I don't know if does that apply? Is it the whole roster? I don't know. but I could very easily see her being moved to one of the other two brands. I could see that happening if that's the direction they want to go in. I think Dakota Kai is a better champion, and that they have a lot more baby faces right now that could come challenge her, and it could work better. And especially with like Candace being out now, she's pregnant. Congrats. Exciting. Right?
Congrats. Baby wrestling.
We're missing some heels. We have Frankie Monet, but she's like not, they're not going to put her in that spot quite yet. You know, like we have people, but nobody really has a direction. I feel like Dakota is one of the ones that has something super solid at the top of the division right now. And it'll be very interesting to see what happens. My gut wants to go with Dakota Kai, but I don't know that they're ready to take it off for Kel yet. And I think this might be one of the only titles that doesn't change hands.
Wow.
So I think I'm going to go with Raquel, but like, I really want Dakota Kai to win.
Yeah, very well said. Big Mommy Cool and HB Kai. It should be very interesting.
Exactly.
But I'll go the other way, and this is a tough one. Like, I've always liked Raquel, like when she came out, or Reina at the time with the cowbell. I saw her at Evolve a couple times. She was great. She had a match with Shotzi, I remember.
Yeah,
and
very good.
Yeah, really, really good. And it's one of those things, like, I always really, really liked her. In person, I was like, she is absolutely beautiful, because you usually don't see her smiling and all that stuff. So when you see her, like, and smiling, and I think she would make a great face, conversely, mm-hmm. as well. That being said, though, I was rooting for her. I like that she got the title, but it's like you said, Queen, it's like, why am I rooting for her? Why do I hate her? Like Bill always says, like, why damn her for this? Like,
right.
I don't know, you know? Mike Mueller weighing in on the chat saying Raquel has the best back in the business.
I mean, facts.
Yeah,
big he's facts. Not wrong.
Reese checking in. What up, Reese? Dakota was the NXT Breakout Superstar of the Year last year. She should get it this Sunday. I'm going to go with Dakota, and I love Raquel.
I want her to win.
But I need more. I just need a story or something, you know, we talked about yesterday, something we could sympathize with or root against or hate. And we just need that. She's a powerhouse. We know that much. Best back, as we say in the business, but and great in the ring, but I need a reason. And Dakota Kai's been there for a long time, and I believe this is long overdue for her. So for that reason, I'm not even a huge Dakota Kai person, honestly, but I just think for those reasons, Dakota Kai walks out with the NXT Women's Championship. I'm going to try to get the Annie Smark in here. Nunes, tell us what you got on this one.
All right, so like Queen touched on, with this shakeup, it really affects everything. Like, it could... There he is.
Hey! And he's wearing the shirt, man. Welcome in, the Annie Smart.
Always the shirt.
How are you, brother?
Doing good. Feeling good. How's everybody doing?
Good, man. Thanks. Everybody thanks for making the time. And the shameless promo. Get those t-shirts at tpublic.com. Onesies are available. Queen knows about that.
I sure do.
Yeah, for Nunes has his onesie. But go ahead, brother. What do you got?
So, like I was saying, the shakeup really does affect everything. And now with a lot of NXT wrestlers wrestling dark matches on Raw and SmackDown to kind of test them out in front of, you know, I guess the main roster crowds, it's tough to say, because my gut says Dakota Kai. Mm-hmm. Raquel is solid, but like Queen was saying, it's kind of just been meh. Like, she's beaten everybody. The match with her and Io at Stand and Deliver was very good. She's beaten everybody that there is to beat. So if she beats Dakota Kai this Sunday, it's like, okay, that's great. She's beaten everybody. Now where does she go from here? Because it seems like everybody's tied up, or there's not enough people there. Is she a face? Is she a heel? Who does she go mm-hmm. against? I feel like you could do more with Dakota. And if Dakota does win, they could continue a feud, which would make the title mean more, would be more on TV. Because I feel like if Raquel wins, it's just, I don't know what direction they go in after this, you know, unless they debut, or like you were saying, you know, unless they vault Frankie Monet up there, or, you know, but I think I'm going to go with Dakota.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Team kick.
Very interesting. All right, Matt, as you call them, Big Mommy Cool, HB Kai, where are we going, bro?
Do you want just listen to Nunez's his prediction there? I feel like, really, if they're not going to, you know, write themselves into a corner, I feel like they have to go with Dakota Kai. Mm-hmm. They put a lot of time and a lot of effort and Raquel has put in a lot of time and effort also, elevating herself, not just in storyline, but as a performer. Dakota's been on that same journey. Before they hooked up, before Dakota Kai, she was a rose without a thorn. She was, you know, cowering before Shayna Baszler, and then she had that heel turn at War Games,
which was fantastic.
It was incredible.
Oh, so good.
And we're starting to see like who she could have been, you know, before a knee injury really kind of put her on the shelf, which can really hurt you in that company. Yeah, I think she's ready. Like I said, outside of, you know, Frankie Monet, everybody's been beaten. And personally, I think you get better matches out of Dakota and Frankie. Raquel, what they want her to be, she's kind of already there. If they're going to move her up, they're going to get the belt off her first. Mm. And if they're not, this is the culmination of the storyline. They're going to go back and forth a couple times.
That's what I think. I think they're going to go back and forth a couple times because people are tied up right now. That's the problem for them. They have people tied up. They have people not competing. They have new blood that they're working in, right? Saray and bunch of other folks, but you know, Io and Zoe are tied up with the tag titles right now. So there's a lot of things happening, I feel like, with the women, but I don't know. Like if I'm running Raw or SmackDown, like where's Raquel gonna go?
Yeah.
What's she gonna do? They have women that are like her already. So for me, like if I'm on the other brands, I'd want Dakota Kai more, because she can fit into some different roles that maybe aren't being utilized as much on the other two brands. Whereas Raquel, they already have women who are dominating and have that persona, even though, like we said earlier, I'm not really sure what her character is exactly. But, you know, we have Shayna and we have Nia. And, you know, it's just kind of like, okay, well, what are we going to do with her? Are they going to totally rehabilitate her character? Maybe then it'll work a little bit better. I don't know. I'm just kind of like iffy on the whole thing. But if it is the height thing, then she's definitely going.
Yeah, it's crazy. I don't know what NXT is going to look like going forward.
I don't either.
It's crazy.
It's going to be very tall, yeah. Meaty boys.
Very tall.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of meaty boys.
That's right, man.
Boys and girls.
Speaking of which, let's take it to Walter taking on Dragunov for this one. Walter holding the title for what? Almost 2 years?
Since TakeOver New York. I was there when he beat Pete Dunne.
That's wild.
Like 800 some odd days, right?
That's wild.
That's crazy. So, Goodest Brother, I'll throw it to you, man. You saw him win. Is Dragunov the guy to dethrone Walter?
So here's my thing, because, you know, I'm going to be honest. I don't really keep up with NXT UK.
Sure.
I do like Dragunov. The only problem is his booking the past couple weeks, because this is his first time on in America on NXT television, I believe.
Was he on Worlds Collide or something?
Well, he was in, like,
he was on Worlds Collide.
But not,
yeah.
Yeah, but like Balor. Tuesday nights. Yeah.
On prime time. And right. At this point, anybody that faces Walter is an underdog.
Yeah.
You don't need to have him lose matches for him to be an underdog against Walter. I think Walter's double his size.
Yeah, at least.
If he beat Pete Dunne last week, I would have said then maybe this would have been it. But I feel like the up and down, like he looked great against Roddy Strong.
Yeah.
I don't know, because like I said, I don't know the NXT UK roster, so I don't know who would be next in line against Walter. I think maybe, you know, because this has been like what a little while in the making.
Yeah.
Oh man, I think I'm gonna stick with Walter for right now.
I think
maybe they'll have a series of matches.
That's a safe pick, and especially going on that, you know, guys, only big guys we're gonna keep. Like, it's almost like let's get more eyes on Walter before we kind of condense it. I'm not saying that's gonna happen, just from, you know, the releases and everything going on and all that. It might be let's get more eyes on Walter, and he's gonna be a major player in regular NXT moving forward. Again, I'm not saying that's the case, just reading the tea leaves, if you will. Kofi Wheatston in the chat from Dirty Heels. Walter turns people into cheeseburger chest meat. Yeah, for sure,
yeah,
man.
Fair.
Those chops, man. Just scary. One of them, man. More chops than a butcher shop. Queen, let's throw it to you. I'm just going to say Walter does retain here for those reasons previously mentioned. What do you got, Queen?
Yeah, I feel like you hit it on the head there, man. So I don't watch NXT UK either. I'll be honest with you. It's not my cup of tea. But I did watch Walter versus Dragunov 1.
Oh, okay.
No matter the victor of this match, it's going to absolutely slap. If you haven't seen that first match, you should go and watch it. It was just on regular NXT weekly television. It's fantastic. They're going to tear it up. And even though there's such a size difference, Dragunov is so good that it's just an absolute brutal. There'll be blood. The chest is going to be absolutely hamburger meat, my friend. it'll be great. But I don't, like, are they going back to the UK? Yeah. Is this just like, this is just, they're just coming to this takeover? Is Walter going to stay here? I don't think so. And I don't know enough about the UK roster either, so I can't really say. But I don't know. Like, Dragunov is great. He's got a cool personality. He's a great wrestler. He's very talented. But I feel like whoever beats Walter, it's got to be, like, such a big deal.
Yeah.
Such a big deal. And I'm not trying to diminish Dragunov at all. I just feel like it needs to be a feud that I understand it's been a long build, but, like, a real feud. Like, a real, honest-to-God, months-long build-up to when this man who has been champion for 800 and whatever days gets dethroned. It's massive.
Yeah, it's got to be a huge deal.
It's got to be a huge deal at a massive pay-per-view. Like, I feel it, like, not that NXT 36 isn't a massive pay-per-view, but it doesn't feel special enough for that reign to end. And also, I'm wondering, given what happened on NXT with Dragunov getting involved with Imperium and MSK and Walter and all that stuff, are we going to see some Imperium fuckery? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Very interesting, and I think you hit it right on the nose. Some different directions here in the chat before we throw it to the Annie Smark. Reese saying Sunday will be 870 days for Walter.
There
Thank you
is.
For that. It will also be his last. Dragunov will be a man possessed after that first match. Very interesting. Kofi in the chat. Walter takes the L. No one gives a you-know-what about that title. Match will be good, but afterwards they fire the UK. Wow, man.
That would be very sad.
That would be sad, man.
That would be terrible.
Yeah. The way things are going, like, I use the word condensed. Like, Nunes, you've been talking all week. You know, you feel like this is going to be just like a major, I don't know, is reboot the word? It's gonna be different, man.
It's almost like the slate is being just cleaned off.
Yeah, it feels
like an Etch-a-Sketch, isn't it?
Shake it.
Like a Polaroid picture. All right, let's throw it to the Annie Smark. What do you got?
I regret to say that I am, like everybody else right here, not the most dedicated NXT UK watcher.
Yeah.
So therefore, just a few things. I'm agreeing with Queen here. Almost 900 days as the champion. This has to be something big. Yeah. Has to be something real. And there was a lot of buzz around their first match. It was a really good match. But like I said, I don't watch a whole lot of it. This is the first most American audiences are seeing of Ilya Dragunov. And from what I've seen in the last 2 weeks, he's not coming off as big enough deal to punch that card.
Exactly.
And change things. Mm-hmm. And depending on, again, we have a million rumors and speculations about what's going on with NXT, with NXT UK, with the 900 other expansions they had planned around the world.
Yeah.
One thing that has come up, supposedly one thing that has followed Walter is that he does not want to relocate. Mm. He has been very dedicated just to NXT UK.
That's fair.
Europe. So if they have anybody that they can just bank on, you know, month in and month out to be their guy over there across the pond, it's Walter. And I think they're going to keep it on him for now.
Yeah, I think so too, man. You know what? Maybe, but again, with this whole shakeup we keep talking about, maybe things will be different, but I think Walter holds on to it for sure. Where is Vac when you need him? Let's talk about LA Knight taking on
To the booth.
I'll take it. Yeah, thank you, bro.
Cameron Graff.
Thank you, man.
Oh, Lord.
To the booth.
Just see if Vax's home. Just go knock on the door real quick. We'll
pull him.
Just get a giant cane. Yeah, knock on the wall. Hey, Vax. Turn on channel 5. What do you guys got for Cameron Grimes taking on LA Knight for this $1 million championship, and I believe the stipulation being if Cameron Grimes loses, Ted DiBiase becomes the butler for LA Knight, which could also be a lot of fun. We were saying Cameron Grimes was definitely going to lose before, and he was definitely going to be the butler, which happened and made for a lot of funny sketches. But I don't think you can keep going with that at this point. It's been great. It's been a lot of fun. We knew it would be. But is this Cameron Grimes' time? I'll throw it to the queen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I think so. Listen, as fun as it would be to see Ted DiBiase be a butler to anybody, because it would be hilarious.
Yeah,
this has been, this is done, right? We've got to the point where it's been funny. It's been entertaining. It's had some great moments. The golf ball segment was just, it was so good. But like any more, and I feel like you're just, it's too much.
Yeah.
End it on a high note. And also, I feel like the $1 million belt can't really stay very much longer. I think, especially with what's happening or supposedly happening, I feel like it's time to. It was fun, but I don't know what are you going to do with it? Ted DiBiase can't stay there forever. So what's Cameron Grimes going to do with it? I think he runs with it for a little while, and then maybe he gives it back to the $1 million man, and he moves on to other pursuits like the North American title.
Very well said. I'll copy and paste. I really like what you said there, Queen. It's been so much fun. Like, Cameron Grimes has been great. I wish, and we've been saying this forever, you know, when Raw and SmackDown start touring again, we said, dude, when NXT starts touring again, like, we'd buy the tickets right away. We love going to NXT. Even the NXT shows are amazing.
Some of the best wrestling I've seen.
And it just shows the house shows. Yeah. Dude, it's just been wild, but obviously they're not going anywhere right now, which is a shame, man. But it's really interesting to me because I think Cameron Grimes is obviously, you know, more over than my first marriage, but more importantly, I would love to see him in front of that live crowd. You know what I'm saying? Like, just to get that pop, and everyone's off the rails here. But I think Cameron Grimes is going to obviously win here. That's my pick, and I do like that they brought back that $1 million championship. But let's start to Matt. What do you got?
The $1 million belt and this whole thing definitely has a shelf life. If this was back in the day when Ted was the $1 million champ, they could stretch out longer because there's less TV. And again, it was a different world that we're currently in. We could have seen them, instead of just one golf course, you know, public places, which are, a lot of them are shut down or limited this time, you know, movie premieres or not happening, so he can't go there and embarrass LA Knight there. As much as I am a huge LA Knight fan, from all the way back to Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, as Eli Drake or as Sean Ricker there, and then Impact Champion, if there's a shortlist for call-ups after this takeover, you got to put him on it. Mm-hmm. I would actually put Cameron Grimes on that shortlist too, because he is wildly entertaining and will probably take off with a live crowd no matter what size the crowd is. But they're not going to have Ted DiBiase come in and be LA Knight's butler for the next couple of weeks. Yeah. So I think we already know which way this is going.
Yeah, all right.
It's going to the moon. Yes.
Love it. So much money, it ain't even funny. Where's Vac? I got him that shirt too. I should have got him the hat. That's what I should.
We should just record him doing it, and then we have like a button that we
like a little
sound
bite. I do have recordings of him doing it, sadly, because I have that kind of time.
The Vacchiano soundboard, do it.
Oh gosh, the Brock. Yes. Nothing tops the Brock scream. That's the best one. But we talk about, you know, having fun and things we really liked in NXT, and we got to talk about, you know, The Way and Johnny and all that stuff. Index, because that's been a lot of fun. Like, I'll be the first to admit, I was very hard on the heel turn for Johnny. I didn't think it made any sense, from his moveset to his storylines to him, you know, yelling at Moro and all that stuff. But he's made it fun and funny, and it's not even, it's almost like by default he's a tweener / maybe almost a face again. I wouldn't go that far, but he's made it work. That's the point. They've all made it work. And even the little things, like when he's talking to Candace, and, you know, Indy's making like the little innuendo jokes with Dexter and all that stuff, and you see the sign like missing Austin Theory, like, did you notice on the wall?
This past week it said missing again.
Yeah, it's just like the little things like that, man. And some of the things he says, I'm like, I feel like you have to have some pull to say some of the things that, like, Johnny says, because it's really like a little bit fourth wall breaking and stuff like that. I would never see that on Raw and SmackDown, and I think it's really well done. So You should be wearing your headband, bro.
I should have grabbed it.
I'll give you one of these. All right, let's get it. But I love that they poke fun. We miss so terribly. I love that they poke fun at everything that's going on, and I love what the Way's been doing. And I'm not gonna lie, I love this index thing. It is a lot of fun. Are we getting a wedding on?
Yes, NXT wedding. I can't wait.
Probably not on Sunday. I don't think it's gonna be a
takeover. Not on Sunday, but
yeah, I wish, but.
So
I think this is the first NXT wedding, right? Ever?
It is, yeah.
It's got to be. So hypothetically, we get that NXT wedding, right?
So excited.
Obviously, someone's going to interrupt it or break it up. It's going to be Johnny. Johnny will come out of a cake or something like that.
Austin will definitely come out of the cake.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. That would be amazing. Him playing an idiot is amazing.
It really is.
It works for him.
Like, it really is.
Like, I love it, but I digress. let's take it to Adam Cole, O'Reilly 3, and quite possibly, thank you, the last time we might see Adam Cole on WWE television. You know, I said this short and sweet. I'm Adam Cole right now. I don't want to go to Raw. I don't want to go to SmackDown. I think he's not necessarily been clear about that, but has been wary of that. I'm in NXT. I'm in that position now where I'm kind of putting guys over, which I think he's going to do with O'Reilly here. I hate to say it. I'm sure part of him really, really wants to put him over. So that this should be interesting. But again, Nunes, they're running back kind of what they did with Johnny with that 2 out of 3 falls a little bit, and that was Gargano Cole 3 as well, right?
Yeah, take over Toronto, yeah.
So the first fall is what? Normal?
Normal. It's a regular wrestling match. The second match is a street fight, and if they get to 3, it's a cage match.
Which they will.
Yeah, which they will. Come on.
Yeah, it'll be very interesting. This could be a really good match. My whole thing with O'Reilly is he does deserve that push. He's a great wrestler, but again, I feel like almost similar to Raquel, it's like aside from him being a great wrestler, he's okay on the mic, but like what makes me want to root for him? You know, they had him with like the denim, like Orange Cassidy, or the sunglasses and the hat, and like, you know, the theme song and all that stuff. And Adam Cole's new theme song is just, it's not the same.
It's so bad.
Just, yeah, it's not. It's the so music bad. Cues aren't there. Like he had it down to the step, man. If I'm Adam Cole right now, obviously it's business, you know, the money comes into play, but I could reunite with the Bullet Club. I could work with wife, or not wifey, but you know what I'm saying, the girly. There's just so much possibility, wrestle with some of my own friends. So part of me selfishly wants to see him in AEW, especially if, you know, we're reshaping NXT and all this stuff. So it should be very interesting to see what happens with that. That being said, I say Cole puts O'Reilly over here in quite possibly Cole's last match on WWE television for a long time. Goodest brother, I know this one's a big one for you.
This is locked for match of the night, I think. I mean, looking at this card, it's going to be a solid takeover. I mean, dragging off of Walter, like you said, Queen, is they are going to hit each other very hard. But Colin and O'Reilly, I'm not really an O'Reilly guy, and I was worried about this when they inevitably would break up the Undisputed Era. When they were all together, everybody said that they're all one thing. They're all equal. We all knew this was a vehicle for Adam Cole. The other three are very good, but Adam Cole was the star of the show. I respect what O'Reilly's doing. You know, I don't think they know what to do with his character. The matches with him and Cole have been very, very good. I think it's going to go the whole three falls, and whether Cole wins or not, I think this is going to be his last match on NXT. I think whether he goes to AEW, whether he goes to Raw or SmackDown, because there's really nothing for him in NXT to do. He's the longest reigning NXT champion. There's really nothing else for him to do. So I think he puts over O'Reilly in a hell of a match.
Very well said, goodest brother. Let's go to the Annie Smart. Your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I was a huge fan of Undisputed Era as a unit.
Loved it.
Since they've disbanded, I mean, if there's anybody who's captured my attention more than the others, it would actually be Roddy.
Just don't give him a microphone. I mean, no disrespect. Adam, no, stop. Great wrestler, though.
Yeah, great wrestler. And they put him with Malcolm Bivens now, so that took care of that problem.
There you go.
Just out of these two, it seems like it was very obvious they were trying to make Kyle O'Reilly happen.
Yeah.
But it's a little too fetch.
Yes, honey.
It's not. Match isn't happening quite how they think. They do still have Adam Cole, and people still love to yell "Bay Bay" on cue. So if one of them's going to work out, it's going to be Adam. I think he's probably going to stay in the company, and I think he goes over in this.
Wow. Really? Wow. Interesting. Queen, I'm very interested on your thoughts on this one.
Okay. So a couple things. First, I'm so sad they let Bobby Fish go. I'm so sad.
Super sad.
First, you break up Undisputed Era, which like I knew was happening, but I always had that small nugget of hope that they'd take them to either Raw or SmackDown and just run roughshod over everybody.
Yes.
Like together. Yes. Yes. You know, before it ended, but we never got it. But that's okay. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, to your point about Roddy with Bivens, now he doesn't have to talk. They got his character perfect. Roddy can go in, wrestle people, take them out, and leave. That's all he needs to do. Like, he didn't win this Wednesday, but, like, that's because Dragunov needs to look good before his match with Walter. Yeah. But, like, that's a great spot for him. With Kyle, they were like, yo, that Orange Cassidy guy with denim and glasses, that looks like a great idea, like Rob said. Terrible idea for Kyle O'Reilly. He's one of the best technical wrestlers they have. So, like, let's not do that sort of thing with him. We need to find something else. This is going to go all three. I think Kyle goes over here. And one of two things are going to happen with Adam Cole. They will chant Adam Cole Bay Bay no matter where he goes.
Oh, yeah.
He's that over. Yeah. And there's a reason for that. Because if he takes the left turn and leaves the company, I have to remind you guys, Adam Cole is dead. In BTE, he was killed. They killed him off.
Right.
Because he left the Bullet Club and left New Japan and Ring of Honor and came to NXT.
Yeah.
So he's not alive. So the story that can be told about Adam Cole and who killed Adam Cole is so gold because there's so much going on from their past with Cody and him, with the Young Bucks and him, with Hangman and him, and with Kenny and him. There's a lot of pre-history storyline there that he could dive right into and it would make 100% sense. They wouldn't have to do a lot of work for that, right? It would be very organic and very easy to do, and the pop would be unbelievable, you know? And there's something to be said for working with your partner. Britt's the champion. You know, she's there and she's been very supportive of his stuff in NXT. Unfortunately, he hasn't been able to do very much for her, at least publicly, right? He comes privately, but I don't know if it's going to happen, though. I'm going to be honest with you, because if you listen to some of the rumors going on, there are some folks in the higher ups that would like to rebuild, let's say Raw, for example, around Adam Cole, because Adam Cole can draw and Adam Cole can go. And he's at that point in his career where he could do that. I think he's one of the last true stars to be made in NXT. Mm-hmm. Like that we were talking about this earlier, that last purpose of NXT, right? To train and build these stars to transition to one of the other two brands. I think he's one of the last ones that has the star power that perhaps the folks in charge of the other two branches are looking for. And if you like $1 million a year, I mean, sign on the dotted line, honey.
That's it.
Money talks, BS walks. So I don't know. It's so interesting to see what he could do, but I do think that this is his last match in NXT.
Wow, very well said. And I get what you're saying, Queen. Like, I'm trying to look at it from all angles. Like, yeah. I'm Adam Cole right now. I think he said something on Twitch, on his stream, that's leading to some other ideas. But I'm Adam Cole right now. I'm saying, hey, I stay in NXT. Nothing's going to change. I want to grow. I go to Raw or SmackDown. I don't know if I necessarily want that, like I mentioned before. But to your point, saying, hey, we're going to build Raw around you. I mean, and again, mm-hmm. I'm sure you're negotiating all that stuff. You're going to get a lot of those promises. And, you know, WWE pulls up with a, you know, dump truck full of money in front of your house. I mean, that talks too. But just from a creative perspective, you know, like for anyone working somewhere, performing, if you're a musician, whatever it is, I want to play here, I want to do this. Mm-hmm. For wrestlers, like, you know, I talk to them every day. They want to work with these people they haven't worked with, or, you know, finish a rivalry with someone, or more so just create those stories. We see what Aleister Black has done. Malakai has just been brilliant, not saying anything about the 30 days, which is just, I love surprises because they're so far and few in between.
Exactly.
I think from a creative standpoint, I'm more excited, you know, to spend more time with Gurley and be creative and bring a lot of my own ideas to the table, which they've been saying Malakai has been doing a lot of his own stuff, man. And I think a change of scenery is fun. You know, go away to college for a little bit, you know, and have some fun with it. So this could be very interesting just looking at it from Cole's perspective.
Like, think about what's happening in AEW right now. That roster is so heavy. And as you can see in my background, I'm manifesting my boy, Daniel Bryan, Bryan Danielson, coming to hang with my friends over here.
Yes.
I'm manifesting that, and potentially the best in the world, CM Punk, potentially, you know, coming as well. Plus that roster, it's so heavy right now. Where's Adam Cole gonna go? Now, they'll put him anywhere, obviously, but it's such a stacked and busy time right now in AEW. There's so many different people signing and coming in, which is great.
Yeah.
But if I'm Adam Cole, I'm looking at that and going, I can hold off on that for a little while, because I want to come in when it's a time where I can be, you know, on top tier, which he should.
Yeah.
Because he's got that draw. He would bring a lot of people. I mean, it'd be huge if he signed there.
Yeah.
Huge.
Yeah.
But I'm just thinking about it from like a perspective of his creativity. Like, what could he do? There's so many storylines going on right now. Jericho's leaving supposedly to tour for Fozzy. So that's happening. But like, there's, I worry about that. I worry about that for him, because there's so many other storylines happening right now. But like, in a year or two, I could see it. I mean, I could see it now. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. But I don't know. That's just like a little hesitation that I have for him. Like, if I'm him, that's what I'm thinking.
Very, very interesting. And I agree with a lot of what you're saying, Queen. That's why you're here. Let's be real. BCPOG, just catching up in the chat real quick. This is going back to the Grimes match. An old school fan would probably feel like DiBiase as a butler would be 30 plus years of karma. Wow.
That is hilarious. Oh, that is hilarious. I read that before and I was like, that is actually genius.
Yeah, it'd be really funny.
Kyle O'Reilly for the win, but this is iffy because no one knows if Cole leaves or not for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Cole using the Forbidden Door would be epic, even if he primarily isn't with AEW. That's a great thought, too. Kind of just go all around. Welcome in, Conrad, Everything Pro Wrestling. Go ahead, Matt.
Conrad,
welcome in. We got to get Conrad on the show. Go ahead, Matt. What do you got?
No, I was just thinking, like, everybody thinks AEW, whether you're with AEW or not, if you leave WWE, now you can have matches with Jay Lethal 1 month, and then challenge Nick Aldis for the NWA title the next month, and then show up on AEW a couple of nights in a, you know, the next month. That's the open door is more attractive than any three letters.
Yeah, especially with a lot of companies, even the indies, or a lot of people are running that Infinity 100%. Gauntlet, you know, Infinity Gauntlet storyline, the belt collectors, as we've seen Omega
Impact
do. And all
has got
stuff.
A lot of buzz for the first time in a long time. Japan is there.
Yeah.
AAA just made major news just from two people happen to show up and watch from the sidelines. They just happen to be the right people.
Yeah. Build bridges. Don't tear each other down. That's what I always say. I think everybody wins. But that's just my way of thinking. But let's throw a curveball at you guys before we get to what I assume will be the main event here. Does CM Punk arrive tomorrow night in Chicago on AEW Rampage? Matt, yes or no?
They're certainly going to have a lot of explaining to do if he doesn't.
That's the right answer. That is the exact right answer.
But they keep hinting and they keep doing, and some people are bulletproof with certain fans, but you kept dangling the chicken wing in front of everybody.
Yeah,
or the chick magnet.
You can't snap it away.
Yeah.
Nice. Nooner?
I don't know. I keep looking at my watch. And
that's a yes.
My watch keeps saying it's clobbering time.
I like
it.
Well, please.
I loved Punk when, you know, Summer Punk 2011. I didn't watch him in ROH. he made me believe in wrestling again for a little bit because it was getting stale at that point. Well, WWE anyway. Like Matt said, they would have a lot of explaining to do. They've been dropping a lot of hints. It's in Chicago. It writes itself. Even if he doesn't sign with AEW and just makes an appearance, and, you know, I don't know who he would interact with. I think him and MJF would be an amazing interaction, both of them on the mic. My heart, as a wrestling fan, I would really, really hope so, but, you know, I have no idea. But I'm going to say yes.
Interesting. Queenie.
The card for Rampage on Friday is not the card that it was for the debut last week. I will say that. It's a very different card. The first debut episode had big money matches. This card, not so much. Cool stuff, for sure. Like Jade versus Kiera Hogan was going to be dope.
Yeah.
Moxley versus Garcia, going to be great.
Yeah.
But it's not the same card. Mm-mm. They didn't mention anything about Darby, and Darby's the one that dropped the first major clue, right, about Rampage and Punk. They definitely will have a lot of explaining to do if he doesn't show up, because they're going to have a ton of people tuning in to watch and see what's going to happen. But do you see CM Punk showing up on a Friday night show that's only an hour?
It's a great, I mean, if the money talks.
It's a great
money point. Talks. But who's he going to come see? Moxley? Because Moxley's in the main event. That would be interesting. But, like, yeah. I don't know. Like, who is he coming for? Why is he coming? I feel like he's going to, but I feel like it's not in a way that we expect. Mm. I feel like we're going to get something interesting from him if, like, he does come on Friday.
Like commentary CM Punk or?
No, I don't think it's commentary. I don't know. I don't feel like it's going to be the way we're anticipating him to show up.
I think
it's going to be really unexpected.
Could be a heel
and it
CM
would be
Punk.
It would be, and I think that's the best move for them.
CM Punk in a suit.
100%. And it just, like, a total different guy, because I feel like
I like that.
It's so like him to tease this stuff and let everybody give the breadcrumbs and do nothing.
Yeah.
Just nothing. I don't know. Like, I want to see him, but also, like, All Out's in Chicago, so he's got another opportunity. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they got a bunch of dates That's booked true. In Chicago. So
a
it's
ton.
Like if they don't have, if Punk doesn't show up on Rampage, you're going to have all these, the rest of these venue, like, these dates in Chicago where people are like, oh, well, Punk's not there. It's like, oh, you know.
But, like, maybe he will come, so next Wednesday, he's there. Mm. I just feel like it's going to be something we haven't necessarily seen. He's going to pull the nostalgia from us for sure, because why wouldn't you?
Yeah, exactly.
But it's going to be different. I just feel like something's up, and I just can't figure out what it is, because you can never figure it out with CM Punk, ever.
I think that's a great point, Queen. I like what you're saying, to kind of swerve you a little bit. I didn't expect that. In my mind, and there was a tweet recently by Tony Khan, I think it was today, where he said, like, hey, I'm excited for everyone to see tomorrow's show. We're ready to just welcome back some people who haven't watched wrestling in years. We're ready to welcome back or welcome people to AEW who have never seen AEW. He's really, you know, pitching it, and I don't know why you would shoot yourself in the foot. So I'm really interested to see how this comes about. In my mind, it's only an hour show, correct?
Yeah.
It's only one That's hour, and they only have three matches. And they, and like the last one was three matches, and then they had like two like video type segments, promos type deal. But like that's it. And it goes by so fast because it's only an hour. But like, what if it isn't CM Punk? What if it's someone else?
Yeah.
It's like Darby said, best in the world. What if it's not him?
Yeah, that's they could just swerve us big time and have something else really big. But I like what you're saying, Queen. If I'm booking this, like, especially just because of all the promises, recent in the chat saying they're dangling a slice of deep dish pizza right now.
I agree.
I think that's very well said. How do you not deliver? Like, I feel like you're shooting yourself in the foot just after all this promo, just based on that. I'm not a huge CM Punk guy. I never really have been. I respect he has done for the business, though. He's changed the business. He brought about that reality era, that social media era, that breaking the fourth wall. He said things in that promo. I was like, whoa, like, is this script? Is this real? Like, is this part of the show? Like, I remember that moment. And I was never a big CM Punk guy. You know, I've met him a few times and just not my type of guy. But basically, what he does is brilliant. He has a mind for the product. He's changed the product throughout all the promotions and moving forward. So I like what you're saying, Queen. I think we let this show go, and like we're at, you know, 9:58 or what is it, 11 o'clock, 11:58, whatever it is. Then we kind of we get them at the very last moment, you know, to that point, like, oh, there's only a few minutes left, and then you swerve him. I like what you're saying. He comes out like complete corporate opposite of everything he's been, the suit. I think that's a really great
that
way to do
is.
It.
And he would probably pitch
it's
too.
Something like he's trying to pop himself, kind of a thing.
Yes,
you know what I mean.
That's the only thing left for him at this point.
Yeah.
He has to interest himself. Like, I went to All Out Weekend in 2019, and I listened to his like talk, his live interview.
Yeah.
With all the folks that were there that weekend, if anybody's in the chat and was there who can back me up here, it has to interest CM Punk. CM Punk's not looking to do anything. He has to want to do it. Like, he made it very clear that, like, he wasn't looking to come back to wrestling really at that point. And, like, things need to be what he would like them to be. And if it pops him or interests him, I can see him being like, hell yeah, like, I'm in. But he's been gone for so long. He hasn't taken any of the other opportunities that he could have taken. So for this, that's why I feel like it's going to be not what we think it's going to be. It's going to be something that makes him pop himself.
Yeah.
It's got to be something he's got to be able to sink his teeth into.
Yes.
Like you said, at this point, it's like at this stage in his career, it's got to be something that interests him. That's the whole reason why Jericho's in AEW.
It's like absolutely.
He's done everything there is
and
to
Japan.
Do. Yeah, and it's like this is almost like a new, you know, a turn of the page, and it's like it's all fresh. So it's something that he needs to be interested in order to do it.
And it's very rare that, and we'll get to the main event in just a second, but it's very rare that like guys walk away from the business and aren't like chomping at the bit to come back. Like, it's so like Queen, I tease you when you retired. I'm like, all right, all right, Undertaker, like,
pretty much.
But I it's really rare. It's like, he really just took a back seat to all that stuff, you know.
He did
MMA, whatever it was he was doing. And it's very interesting that they are hyping it so big. So we'll see what happens tomorrow. I'm very interested to see what goes on with that. That can change the business and, you know, the feuding promotions moving forward. Let's talk about the NXT Championship title match between Samoa Joe. I'm actually excited for this one versus, I keep saying Killer Cross, Karrion Kross.
Me too.
Yeah, right? smoothest handshake in the business, as Bill says. He must moisturize. Is this just Joe puts Cross over here, goodest brother? What do you got?
So, see, I'm the opposite. I'm really not looking forward to this match.
Okay.
And it's not a knock on both guys. I love Samoa Joe. I've been watching Samoa Joe since TNA, and he was killing in the X division. And I love the fact that NXT signed him. I was like, yes, finally. Guys like him and Bobby Roode, they finally get their shine on, like, a big, big stage. I do like what they've been doing with Karrion Kross on NXT. I don't know what is going on with Raw. Has Scarlett been? Because
the crowd was literally chanting last night.
Yeah,
there is Scarlett.
Yeah, they were chanting.
Hate it when they insult our intelligence. Come on.
They're like the Dragunov Walter match. They're gonna hit hard. It's gonna be a hard hitting affair. My thing is, it seems like Karrion Kross is like 1 foot. It like on the main roster and like 1 foot like in NXT, but he's about to leave.
Ding ding ding.
I think just based on that alone, I think Joe gets the belt. You know,
wow.
Be the first ever 3-time NXT champion.
Yes.
In this, I guess, new era, clean slate, whatever. I mean, he'll be a good champion to pass on to the younger guy, you know, whenever he's ready to move to Raw or SmackDown again. It's going to be a solid match. The build has been kind of it's almost like kind of been rushed because we all knew that once Joe came back and he was the enforcer for William Regal, was like, he's going to wrestle. I don't know who. And then, you know, when he started interacting with Cross, I was like, oh, okay, makes sense now. I'm going to go with Samoa Joe on this one.
Yeah. See, I like the promos leading up to it. Like, I like Joe a lot, and I didn't get to watch him as much in TNA. Like, I came in like the Ruthless Aggression era and all that stuff.
The matches were bangers, man. Him and Styles were great.
And he's not even my style of wrestling, but I really like him. He's so intense. He's a good storyteller. I loved him on commentary. Let's be
real.
He's
very good on commentary.
But even when the whole don't provoke me thing or whatever, you know, you have to provoke me, and someone like bumps into him, and he just kind of has that little smirk. And he takes off the jacket. Like, the little things. Like, I love that, man. Like, he goes out, says two words on the microphone. He's sweating more than Shane McMahon. Like, it's wild, man. But, like, it's so... You know this match is going to be intense. Yeah. I like Karrion Kross. It's not going to be pretty, but I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Like, and this isn't my kind of match either. Like, the two monsters kind of thing. But I'm very interested to see where it goes. Hashtag where's Scarlett. But also, I think... Karrion Kross holds on to the title here. Okay. We can go into that whole Raw thing, but I think it was just all politics. But yeah, let's throw it to the Andy Smark. What do you got on this one?
Yeah, this is the sleeper of the night.
Okay.
No pun intended.
Because this has the potential to be like one of those 1990s All Japan like bangers of just two guys who can probably beat the crap out of me pretty easily in real life, just knocking the snot out of each other. Both of these guys have an MMA background. Samoa Joe coaching at Team Punishment in Long Beach for however long now, 20 plus years. They're gonna bring it, and I think some people are kind of dreading this because Karrion Kross has had slower matches, especially as of the last few months or since his return from the injury from when he beat Keith Lee. But think about those few months or few weeks before the injury. I think they're going to bring it in this one. And this is a really tough one to call. I think it does go to Joe. I think, like Nunes said, they had a plan that got a little bit of a hiccup, or maybe it was more of a cough on Jeff Hardy's part. But now they're whatever they're going to do with him and Scarlett, whatever this plan is to bring him to Raw, they're going to go forward with it. And nobody else has beat him. Joe will beat him. And Joe is now the three-time champion, the guy who beat Karrion Kross, and whoever is coming up in 3 weeks, because they're taping for the next 3 weeks, whenever this reboot happens, or whoever they're bringing in from the PC that makes it their goal to go after Samoa Joe, that guy's going to be the man. And you got to beat the man to be the man. So Samoa Joe's got to be the man.
Very well said. So we got Samoa Joe from you, Samoa Joe from Matt. I went Karrion Kross. Real quick before we go to Queen, Reese saying Nunes nailed it. Kross has one foot in and one foot out. Yeah. Joe gets the three-peat. Wow. See, I didn't think we were going this way. Queen, are you going with Karrion Kross to retain, or are you going with apparently everyone saying Samoa Joe is going to put Karrion to sleep?
Oh, he definitely is. And I don't think this match is going to last very long either.
What?
I don't think it's going to be as long as we think it's going to be. I think it's going to be a very dominant Joe. Listen, how shocked were we all when they let Joe go? This very man shocked. Put on a rain poncho to call your Wrestle Hurricane Mania, okay? And you let this man go? Yeah. Rude. And apparently, Triple H had no idea immediately started to get him for NXT.
Yep.
Like, you can't go. You have to come back here. Like, he's not stupid. So Joe is a storyteller. I don't care if the build is a day. Joe can sell me on pretty much anything. His stuff with AJ Styles, which he should have won, by the way, the Wendy was the best ever. Yeah. The best ever. He's just so good. He's going to get the three-peat. It's going to be emphatic. And Kross is going to go up. He cannot go up without Scarlett. He needs Scarlett because, unfortunately, he's not Killer Kross anymore. And I feel badly that his time in NXT was cut so short with his injury, so we didn't get more of that guy.
Yeah.
I feel like if people saw him more in the indies, they would get it more. I don't think he's translating into NXT. He will translate better with the folks that enjoy Raw. And with Braun Strowman and a couple of other big guys not there, or, you know, are we getting a brand shakeup again? Are we doing all that kind of stuff? The draft? I think it gives him an opportunity to be in a brand of one of the other two that fits him more. I think it makes more sense for him to be there. I don't know, like, where is she? It makes me really sad. Like, where is she? Where is Scarlett?
It makes a lot of people really sad.
Yeah,
I'm really sad because she sells me on things. That's what she does. And also, she's great in the ring, which not a lot of people know.
Yeah.
Now, to the anti-smirks point, whoever is the guy that's going to come for Joe is going to be the guy. I mean, that's a great point because of what's going on with the shakeup. Now, you have to look at the NXT breakout tournament that has been happening for a reason. And we have, I forget the other guy's name, but we have Carmelo Hayes versus the other guy, Jones.
Odyssey Jones.
I couldn't remember the first name. Yes. Which is going to be a slapper and going to be great. And I feel like Hayes is going to go over here. And I feel like that would be a really interesting pairing. If anybody knew Carmelo Hayes before as Christian Casanova on the indie scene, homeboy could talk. So yeah. I think it would be really fun to see him versus Joe and what they could do with one another. That could be kind of fun because they do get a title shot. And if he does be allowed to go after the NXT title instead of maybe the North American, it could be very, very interesting. But that aside, I still think Samoa Joe gets the three-peat. It makes the most sense. You don't bring Joe back to give him nothing to do.
Mm. Wow, this is interesting. I thought we're getting more Joe than a Starbucks right now. Nice. But let's wrap it up, guys. And thank you so much for making the time. I'm excited for this one. Like Nuna says, this might be turning the page here for end of an era for NXT. So it should be very interesting. But before we get out of here, we're all about that shameless promo here on the BCP. Let's talk about it, Matt. What you got for us?
Yeah, you can follow me at @AntiSmark. That's AntiSmark with two A's on Twitter. Might be posting some pictures of some tacos al pastor this weekend.
Oh, man.
Might get to see me, harass Disco Inferno a little bit. Lance Storm.
That's the best sentence I've ever heard.
You can read my articles on popbreak.com, where I've been covering NXT for the last couple months.
Love it, man. Very well said. I hope to see you this weekend over at the Neighbor's house. Maybe we'll watch some SummerSlam. We'll see what happens. Queenie, who may or may not be retired, what do you got for us?
Well, I'm coming out of retirement kind of like The Undertaker used to for a couple of big moments.
That's all we need.
Yeah. You can follow me on Twitter at The Queen of Any. I have a show every single Sunday with my pal Pops called The Queen and Pops Experience. We watch wrestling matches and yell at each other. It's very entertaining.
That's amazing.
And also, we have a special announcement at this drop. This episode's drop on Sunday about what we're doing. So that's look out for that on all your major podcast platforms. And you know, you may see Queen around some places. It might happen. I might be signing. I don't know. You never know what I might do. You never know what I might do.
She's bringing CM Punk. That's what's happening. She's got
I'm going to be his manager. No, I wish. I really wish. But I want to thank you guys so much for having me on. I missed you boys, and it was such a pleasure chit-chatting with you.
No, we miss you. I was so excited for this. That's why we had the hashtag Return of the Queen. We're excited for it. And Queen, you know the deal. You are always, always welcome here. BCP OG. She is truly the queen. Thank you guys so much for making the time. And like we always say, goodest brother, stay safe, stay positive. Take care of each other. We out. Peace.